What's up, Beardos? You're listening to a very special, exceptionally good, marvelously decent, Patreon-exclusive bonus episode of The Bearded Vegans.
Basically, our whole philosophy boils down to, don't be a jerk.
Let me answer your question first by not answering your question. I really hope people didn't tune in to hear us talk about beards.
Welcome to the show. I'm Paul.
And I'm Andy.
And we are The Bearded Vegans, a podcast featuring a dissection of all things vegan.
If you're just tuning in for the first time, bravo for finding us in the most obscure way possible. But you can find all of our previous episodes at thebeardvegans.com. You can always reach us by emailing thebeardvegans@gmail.com or just leave a comment below.
Yeah. In today's episode, we're going to talk about what we literally just ate and then move on into a review of Empathy.
Our first official movie review for the Patreon bonus episodes. We've gotten out of rotten territory, finally.
There's a joke in there somewhere. It's late.
Yeah, it is very late. We just watched this movie. We just ate some delicious food. So Also for the first time ever, we're going to talk about what we've been eating in a bonus episode. Yeah.
So, of course, if you're listening to this, it means that you have backed us on Patreon. And again, we just want to extend our sincerest thanks to you. We really appreciate it. And thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. It's been really fun seeing the pledges coming in, and especially for those that are getting the physical rewards, seeing where people live in this world. And apparently there's beardos internationally all over the place. So thank you for supporting us. And again, let us know what you want to hear in these bonus episodes. 'Cause right now we're just doing whatever the heck we want.
But I will say, I'm very excited to talk about this one. I had a lot of fun watching this mere moments ago, and I'm excited to talk to you about it, Andy.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to see this come up and go, what the heck is this film? This is not something that was released to wide acclaim in the United States, and that's because it was originally from Spain. And I am glad that this came across my radar, because I don't know how it did. It actually came out April 7th of 2017, but there must have been some sort of promotional push on Facebook, and it came across my dash. And I was like, this looks different than a lot of the documentaries that we cover. So I can't wait to talk about it. But before we talk about this film, let me talk about just what went in our beautiful mouths moments ago.
So we just got some Triangle Tavern, which I've frequented many times since living in Philadelphia. Also, Andy is physically sitting next to me right now, which is a joy, because we have not recorded an episode together in a very long time. And Triangle Tavern, just a couple blocks away from me, so I've had it a lot of time. Andy, you've had it. This is your twice?
This is
your second time?
This is my second time.
What'd you think?
I like it. It's definitely very greasy, and like, no shade at grease and oil and whatnot. I'm a fan.
All right, Penn.
I'm a fan of your work, but it was almost a little too much. But so the first time we went, we got this like weird assortment of various items that don't really go together. And this time I got some things that really went quite well together. And I got the garlic bread, which was by far the star of the show the last time that we ate there. And it's not overwhelmingly garlicky, but it is just so crispy, so, again, oily. But it is so good. It's basically Texas toast. And then I decided to go for the cheesesteak, because I'm on the quest for the perfect cheesesteak in Philly. I feel like I've already found it.
Where? BB?
Blackbird and WizKid are kind of a tie for me. They win for different reasons. And I was like, it's hard for me to imagine anyone else could take the crown, because they're both really knocking it out of the park. And I don't think that this is a contender for the very best, but I thought it was very good. And it the cheese sauce was, I don't know if it's something with a little bit of Daya in there, but it tasted like very cheese whizzy, which is kind of what you want in a cheesesteak. Like, it wasn't some fancy schmancy thing. So I have to say, it's definitely in my top three, I think.
I believe they use Blackbird Seitan.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. It's like shaved thin. Fried on the grill, or the flat top, whatever it might be. And
they should just buy the WizKid cheese sauce and combine the two. And that would be perfect.
Then they would be a contender.
And I got some buffalo wings, which which I had those. The only other time I've had them is with you, Andy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was that price point keeping you away before?
It is, yeah. Because it's listed as an appetizer, but it's more expensive than some of the entrees.
Yeah. But, you know, I will say this about the cheesesteak, though. I think they may have turned the bread that it was on into the garlic bread. Like, it had, like, a very garlicky flavor to it, and it just sort of had the like, it was, like, cut in half and, like, turned upside down, like, on the grill.
Hmm.
So that definitely kicks it up a notch. Yeah. They did. Because Blackbird doesn't do anything interesting with their bread, really.
And actually, Blackbird has been critiqued for their bread for a while. People always said their rolls were too hard, and they recently switched rolls, and it was, like, a big hubbub in Philadelphia that they switched their rolls to softer rolls.
But, yeah, I did not love the roll necessarily. You, like, bit into it and all the fillings would kind of fall out. And it's sort of the joy of eating a big, sloppy, messy cheesesteak, but I'm glad they switched.
I like the hard rolls, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What are we talking about, Andy?
All right. Let's talk about this movie, Empathy. So, like I said, this movie came out 2017. It's from Spain. The director is Ed Antojas. I believe it's how it's pronounced. It's keeping with that long-running tradition of not knowing how to pronounce anyone's names. We'll just refer to him as Ed from here on out. And let's play a little bit of that trailer right now.
It all started 6 months ago. I got a call from Jenny. She wanted me to make a documentary to try to change those habits in society that harm animals. The first thing I thought of were ham sandwiches, chicken croquettes, and fried eggs. I also thought that apart from food, my life probably wasn't causing much harm to the animal kingdom, which I consider myself a great friend of. But Jenny told me that on a normal day, I sleep on feather pillows, shower with products tested on mice, dress with sheep's wool, and wear cowhide shoes. So here I was, reviewing the first interviews I had begun filming to make a documentary that would change the habits of society as a whole.
So we're gonna... I don't know, Paul. Do you think there's anything to spoil in this film?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I think maybe it's safe to say we would both say it might be worth seeing.
I think so, yes.
All right.
Spoiler alert. Watch this movie.
Yeah. All right. So if you haven't seen it and you're curious, go check it out. Come back. Give it a listen. But from now on out, consider this whole film, everything's fair game. I'm going to read from the IMDb description here before we start getting into it.
He was dead the whole time.
Ed is commissioned to create a documentary intending to change the habits of society that are detrimental to animals. But completely alien to the animal-loving culture, he will realize that to carry it out, he must first convince himself. So this is a film that kind of follows in the tradition of Cowspiracy and What the Health, where you have this main character who is not convinced of something, in this case regarding humans' exploitation of animals in general. And they are going on this journey and they're talking to experts and through the course of this film become transformed because of it.
Yes.
Like, more or less. Did you feel that at the end of the film he was, like, fully vegan? I mean, I have thoughts. I have so many thoughts, but just from that last scene...
This is the Inception, spinning the top at the end of the movie. Is he vegan at the end?
Maybe let's save the thing for the end. The end for the end. But I don't know if it's entirely clear if he was, but...
I think it is not clear.
All right. So anyway, it follows him on this journey, Paul, and so we've seen this kind of format play out in the past. What are your overall thoughts on this film, this journey, if it's convincing, if you feel like this is a good introduction to these issues? How you feeling?
I'm feeling good, Andy. I think that in the past, I have not always been convinced by this particular style of storytelling, where it's like the filmmaker is completely oblivious to all these things, and then they become enlightened through these journeys. Like, we saw that in Cowspiracy and What the Health, and at least in What the Health, because we already knew some things about the filmmakers, we knew that they're kind of putting on a show, like, wow, I didn't know any of this stuff. Like, this is ridiculous. And we know that it's not completely authentic, but to someone who is not familiar, it may seem authentic to them. I kind of got a similar feeling with this one, where I was like, I don't know. It's hard for me to tell how authentic some of his reactions are, especially because I don't know if you felt this way, Andy, but I felt like there wasn't always a clear, like, chronology, because he would even right from the beginning of the movie, he was like, oh, and I'm reviewing some of these interviews that I did with people. So it's like when the movie starts, he's already done interviews with like Peter Singer and Melanie Joy and a bunch of other people, and he's referencing them. So it's in some ways, I think it's hard to tell exactly how authentic it is. That being said, I enjoyed this specific journey a lot more than some of the other ones. I forget, there was one movie we watched where the filmmaker was trying to do a similar thing, and it's like the filmmaker is the narrator, is the main character of the movie, and I remember being very bored with that one. But this one, I was not bored with this journey. I thought that this may make a difference. I thought that he was a likable guy. I thought that he threw a lot of jokes in there that were good. I thought they were funny jokes. So yeah, I thought that trope worked for this movie. The trope of like the filmmaker learning and you're really following him. He is the main character of this movie. And I actually, one of the notes that I wrote down was, in a lot of the interviews with other people, it often, the camera turns around and it shows him watching the interviewer, and it shows like the cameraman, the camera person filming the person that's being interviewed. And it's like in any other movie or in any other documentary, that shot is completely unnecessary, but it's because he, you know, he is the character of the movie, and that's why they're showing his reaction to these things. So I feel like they made it work for this movie. So
most of the times I felt like it was hard to read what exactly he was reacting, though, like how he was reacting rather.
Yes, no, I agree with that, but I think it was even like the point of it was to just be like, it's almost like the interviewer, it's almost like the person that's being interviewed is talking to him, and it's like you're following how he's going to make changes because of the things that those people are saying.
I mean, obviously it's a stylistic flourish, but why not just do the standard thing where they cut back to him in the actual interview room, right? Like you'll see an interview on like 60 Minutes or whatever, and they're interviewing someone and they cut back to the interviewer asking the question or nodding meaningfully or whatever it might be.
As opposed to like cutting back to him, but then also all the camera people and like the boom mic and stuff like that.
I mean, just like him in this dark room, like watching these interviews. I don't know.
Yeah. I meant in some of the actual interviews, the camera would go back on him and there would be like the cameraman was next to him filming the people. And like sometimes you would see like a boom mic and stuff like that. So I felt like it was trying to be like, this is a film about this guy making a film.
Yeah.
Type of deal.
Yeah. I don't know. In regards to that aspect, like this is a film about someone making a film. I don't know entirely how successful that was, but yeah, let's circle back around to the chronology aspect of it. I think that in almost every film review that we do, I at one point will say the word roadmap, right?
Yes.
I want a clear roadmap. I want to think that if someone had never been introduced to this subject before, I want them to start the film where that person is. I think this about animals. And then the main person, Ed in this case, the subject of the film and also the director, is saying, I feel this way about animals, and I'm not sure if that's the right way to feel about animals. So I'm going to go on this journey. Come on, gang. Hop in the van. Let's go and figure that out. So you're right. I hadn't thought about that. The opening scene, he's like already done a lot of this work. And there's that very weird like teen comedy, like record scratch, everything stops, and you're like,
yeah,
that's me, probably wondering how I got here. Well, it all started last summer when I got this job at the water park. You know, it's just like such a weird thing. So not the chronology being kind of obscured sort of hurt the way it was trying to tell the story, I think. And then I think that also just, I feel like we touched on this perhaps in like the speciesism review, where you're kind of like, did this person really, without having any sort of inclination towards any one particular outcome in this film, really get together the time and resources and decide, I'm a blank slate and I'm going to go do this project and whatever happens, happens? right? Because, you know, and like that's kind of what you're supposed to think is going on. But one, we find out that it's commissioned by FADA, F-A-A-D-A, yeah, an animal rights group. And so obviously that kind of taints things as well. But maybe it's, they're like, we challenge you to make it, you make documentaries. This is not this person's first documentary. We challenge you to make one and see if you don't come out the other side as a vegan or a near vegan or something like that. So I get that, but it just seems insincere to me. Like, I don't feel like anyone is starting a project from a true blank slate position. And I think that for some people that'll work, but I think a lot of people will pick up on that insincerity, because even, you know, he's having these conversations with people and he has really good rebuttals for a lot of the things that they say.
Yeah.
You know, so you're kind of like, you know, you've heard these talking points before. So I don't know how authentically to read this.
I think, though, the fact that it is a commissioned film and it's not his project, I think that that points to it possibly, again, we don't know for sure, but I think that that could point to it possibly being a sign that it, a proof that it is more authentic, because it's like, if he's a filmmaker, he's like, yeah, someone's going to pay me money to do this thing. This is what I do. It's like, sure, I'll do this thing because you're giving me the money for it, versus like, it was Speciesism, where it's like, with that, you know, that filmmaker had to have the foresight that this was going to make a good film, and that all this time and effort, and like, didn't he like quit law school or something like, I don't know, something like that, like all this effort would be
sold worth all of his possessions, yeah, to buy camera equipment.
it would be,
this works out.
Yeah, like he had to hope that it would be worth something, whereas this guy is just like, oh, like if it works or doesn't work, I'm still getting paid the money for doing this. So I think that that could maybe mean that it was more authentic. And I also think, I'm speculating here, as I have been known to do, but the fact that the movie kind of right at the beginning, and if you watch the trailer for the movie, is essentially just the first 5 minutes of the actual movie.
Besides, when we were watching it, I wanted the record scratch to stop on our lives and be like, here we were watching the same 5 minutes over again, and you're wondering, how did I get here?
But if you watch it, you'll see that it kind of just throws you right into it. And I'm wondering if maybe they did film some stuff from before that and they just decided to edit it out because they were like, this is dragging on. This isn't really working. Like, we can just start the movie. Because even at the beginning of the movie, even though he's already done some of these interviews, he does still stay like, oh, I'm still eating meat. I'm still doing, like, he does establish himself as a omnivore, as a meat eater. Yeah. So I'm thinking maybe that there was stuff before that, and then they were just like, this is dragging on too long. They cut all this out. They did, like, you know, a voiceover of him being like, this is where I'm at right now, blah, 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 blah. And then they're like, okay, now we can get right into it then. It's possible.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I it is a very nice, lean 75 minutes. It's really
loved it.
Really trimmed down. I was a fan of that. But I don't know. I guess I just wished that there was more in the beginning of that nature, that was kind of establishing him and his beliefs and all of that. And I don't know, because it did feel like it moved rapidly through certain things. Like, it felt like it moved very quickly through the eating animals aspect of it and then moved on to other aspects of animal exploitation. I kind of thought that they would explain that a little bit more. So I don't know. I do appreciate, I something that I did like about the film is that it really tried to touch on a variety of issues. Like, it wasn't just about eating animals. And that's kind of, in many regards to me, this is what sets it apart from so many of the other ones that we watch that focus exclusively on food, animals used for food.
But then also, I feel like something that this movie does well, and I want to touch on something you just said too, it does, what it does well is that it's, I think that it does a good job putting, if you are a meat eater that's struggling with these things, I feel like that's the main character you're going to empathize. You're going to empathize with this main character that is also like saying like, man, this stuff sucks, but I'm having such a hard time doing this. And I feel like that's the point of the movie is to show someone who knows what he has to do, but is having trouble doing it. And to touch on what you were just saying, Andy, which you said that you thought it just breezed over the animal issues. I thought that, you're right, it kind of goes past it at the beginning, and then it hits circuses and zoos and animal testing and all these other really important issues. But then the reason that it does that, I think, is because towards the end, it doubles back to him and it says, he's like, yeah, I had no problem giving up my clothes. I have no problem giving up this and the entertainment aspects, but I'm still having trouble giving up the food stuff. And so it kind of revisits it at the end. And I feel like that is an authentic, maybe it was written that way, maybe it was scripted, but I could see someone having that authentic experience of being like, yeah, I can give up these things that are not super duper ingrained in my daily life, but I'm having trouble giving up this one thing. And then he even goes to like a psychologist or a psychiatrist, I forget, probably a psychologist, that like talks about the psychology behind why it's difficult for him to, or why people give up their empathy and like why these things are difficult. And I thought that was cool, that I feel like a lot of these documentaries just say, this is why it's bad and this is the correct route to go. But this movie, I feel like, delved into a few more nuanced issues of being like, this is why it's hard to give up these, like psychologically, this is why it's difficult for us to give up these things. This is why this is so ingrained in us. And I thought that was really cool.
I wish that was a lot more the focus of the film. I think it's trying to be two things at once. It's trying to be a basic primer on animal exploitation. Mm-hmm. It was almost like you were watching Earthlings, but the Cliff Notes version, where someone's describing it to you as opposed to actually seeing it. Because that is like Earthlings does, you know, it starts with like animals in shelters and then it goes through a series of things. And this film, okay, it starts on food, but then it talks about puppy mills, talks about wool, addresses leather, addresses animal testing and zoos and all of these things, but in like a very kind of light, easily accessible way. Let's put a pin in the topic of how it handled graphic footage or not for a little later on. But so it's going through these things and it's also addressing the various arguments that are used against going vegan, or, you know, lions eat meat, plants have pain, feel pain, all of those things. It kind of tries to address those pretty quickly. And then it tries to get at the root of why is it so hard for us to change. But that almost felt like an afterthought. And so for a film being called Empathy, it felt like empathy wasn't really a big focus on the film. And so that was kind of my problem, because I thought it was going to explore that more. It's kind of like how speciesism, I wanted to explore the cognitive function of speciesism more than it did. It was just kind of like briefly going through things. And I felt like this film suffered from that as well. And like, he didn't go to the psychologist until
very close to the
like
end.
5 minutes left. And the film just kind of ends with, like, we can know the stuff, but it just comes down to our will, essentially. And I was like, there's such an interesting story to be told here and something to explore here. But instead, we wasted 45, 50 minutes on learning all of these different aspects of animal exploitation. And I don't know that it ever meaningfully got to the heart of what is empathy? How do we create it? How do we lose it? Why do we not have it specifically for the animals that we exploit, but for these other animals? Like, it touches on all that stuff, but the film isn't about that. Like, it doesn't feel like it's about that to me.
You know, I agree with you, Andy. I think that I think I'm still happy that it touches on the issue at all, but I do agree with you. You're right that for being the namesake of the movie, they don't hit it probably as much as they should. And I actually wrote this down in my notes. If I had to say what the main idea of the movie was, I would say it's like the importance for people to just be exposed to the information. I think that the movie spends a lot of time going over, or the movie spends a lot of time pushing the idea, if people just knew about this stuff, they would act differently. And they touch on how it's like, and the farms, the reason why these farms won't let us come in and see them is because they know if people were exposed to what's going on, yeah, they would change. I feel like that's at least for the first half of the movie. Then it kind of shifts. I think it kind of shifts away from that at the end. But I remember for the first half of the movie thinking, oh, that's the point of this movie, is to just say, in order to change people's minds, we just need to expose them. And that happens like at the dinner party scene where he brings in a bunch of his friends that maybe haven't thought about these issues very much before. And then he shows, he has a discussion with them, and then he shows them some images. And I think that's literally what some of them say, is like, oh, I've never seen this before, blah, 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 that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually thought that that dinner party scene was one of my favorite moments in the film. It was just such a sort of interesting thing that I hadn't really seen before. Like, let's just gather a bunch of people with varying viewpoints and put them at a table and see what happens. And
it's a bold move.
I mean, it could have easily got, I'm like, what did they cut out of that? Cause yeah. I'm sure it went on for hours. And props to the people from FADA. We'll call them FADA, FAADA. I assume that's how they would pronounce the acronym. Props to them for sort of being there and just very sort of skillfully and like calmly kind of dispatching of all the myths that people kept like putting out there. It, you know, people were putting out some stuff that's very familiar and very frustrating to the well-seasoned vegan, mm-hmm. in terms of the excuses that, and like reasonings that we hear. So it was interesting. Like, honestly, you could have a full film that was just that. I think you, even if it wasn't, even if it was like a narrative film, like it was just like shot like it was a play.
Yeah,
that could be an interesting thing.
Yeah, no, that's true. I thought that the main like vegan that was there was this person Jenny, who is friends with Ed and who is a part of FADA, and it seems like is kind of like the driving force for him to. For him to become exposed to these sorts of issues. Like, she's kind of pushing him, like she's always kind of pushing him throughout the film, like the next thing to do, like, oh, now we're going to go to a zoo, now we're going to go to the dog shelters, now we're going to do these sorts of things. And I don't think I've ever seen someone that has such perfect rebuttals to every single like critique that's brought up to veganism. Like, obviously, I don't know how scripted it was. I don't know how off the cuff it was, but she was like always on the ball about like, oh no, this is why. And then when they're like watching, some of the graphic images, she's basically narrating it for them and basically saying like, this is why this happens. This is why this happens. So props to Jenny.
Yeah. Jenny was nailing it in this film. Well, I guess this is sort of harping on our original point about the authenticity of the film, but I guess I didn't get a chance to say this before, was that it did feel like a lot of those scenes were very, very planned out, you know, and a lot of the framing of the shots is nice. It's not just like a sloppy handheld documentary, but it felt like the conversations were like pre-planned out. Like, we need a conversation where you tell me this thing and you respond this way. And I think that also kind of added to my feeling of, this is a guy that already has made his conclusion, but he's trying to present it as if he hasn't made his conclusion yet. So I guess that's something that kind of like added fuel to that particular fire, which bugged me.
Yeah, I will say though, it was nice to have these. They were very like artistic shots in the movie. And like you were just pointing out, when you have those shots, it's hard to imagine that this was just some random occurrence that they happened to film so beautifully. So, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the, you know, like the artful shots of him eating all the time. And yeah, it was good.
If my assumption is right that he has gone fully vegan or like mostly vegan and sort of like knew that was going to be the conclusion of this film, then it almost felt like it was a conflict of interest to show him eating those things, even if it just meant, even if he's not like fully vegan, but it means him knowingly purchasing animals to be used for the film, to be shot from the film. Like, it felt like those were things that were filmed like, all right, we need a beginning framing device, so let's get a couple shots of this.
I don't know, because he even at the end of the movie, I think he says, because it was weird. There was a part at the end of the movie where it implies that he's been vegan for 2 weeks. But then right after that, he says something like, oh, and I'm still having the occasional cheeseburger every once in a while, or something like that, or like the occasional ham sandwich every once in a while.
Which is like the interesting thing that I wish they spent more time exploring. Like, I've gone through this whole experience. I'm so on board with it, like, logically. but my actions just, I just am not there yet. And why is that? And I, like, it felt like there should be another half hour exploring that.
And you know what I think, you know what I think the movie implies without saying, and I don't know if this was intentional or not, but I think it implies that for him, because it keeps showing these scenes talking to his mom and how his mom is just totally not on board with veganism.
She's not having it.
And she's like, always, she's trying to talk him out of it constantly. And at the very last scene is a dinner with his whole family, and how she says, like, she's like, you're still trying to do that, blah, blah, blah. She like literally just like serves him meat. And what I think they don't explicitly say, and maybe it was intentional, maybe this was an intentional point they were trying to make, maybe not, but in dealing with like what you were just saying, the reasons why it's hard for people, for him, it seems like the reason it was so hard because it was because of the pressure from his family, or maybe his family and his friends, or just to put it more broadly, like the societal pressure to do what's normal, quote normal. And they don't ever, oh, I mean, maybe they reference it, but they don't flat out say it. I feel like, especially for him specifically, they don't flat out say it. And that would have been nice. That would have been a nice thing for them to say out in the open.
Yeah. I think that that would be another really interesting point for them to explore that they didn't really touch on, because you're right that so many of these documentaries are basically, here's the problem, and now that you have the power, you just have to go out and do it. You know, that's like the sort of the change that they're pushing. They expect people to watch the film and then make the change. Now, realistically, obviously, everyone knows, not everyone, and most people don't make any sort of change like that overnight, but that's sort of the narrative that gets pushed. And it, that's cool, you know, aim for the stars, or whatever, you might land on the moon, or whatever, however the phrase goes, right? Right? Shoot for the moon, you might land on the stars, if you fall short, whatever. But yeah, I wish that there was a film that was just exploring these things and like acknowledged the fact that people watch these life-changing films, feel affirmed in their decision to stop eating animals, but then just don't.
I will say though, Andy, also, I just want to say, I really like this film. We're being very critical of it. I really like this film.
I enjoyed this film. I could list a bunch of things I enjoyed about it,
but
we always hurt the ones we love, Paul.
Here's what I'll say about your point though, Andy, is that I think, and I do think that this was intentional, because you're right that they don't explicitly come out and say like, these are the reasons why people have, or they don't come out and go super in depth and nuanced into the reasons why it's so hard for some people. However, they show a lot of people throughout the movie that are not vegan and have arguments against veganism. For instance, like his friends and his family, like they show, that's mostly who it is, but his friends and his family. But his character, he is the only one I think that is fully on board with it. And he's the only one that they portray, I feel like, in a solely positive light, versus the other people who also have, like, his friends are struggling with it, but they also have a lot more negative things to say about veganism. I don't feel like the movie portrays those characters as like, this is what you should do, this is what you should be. I feel like the movie is only saying like, you should follow the steps of what this filmmaker is doing, which is you should continue to keep striving for these things. Because like what some of his friends say is like, yeah, some of it, before they even watch some of the graphic imagery at the dinner table, one of his friends says like, or a bunch of them admit that like, yeah, this sucks, but this is just the way it is, or it sucks, but this is like, this is what's done, and I'm still going to do it. And they either have like flexitarian or reducitarian tendencies in the things that they're saying, but I never feel like the film is promoting those things. I feel like from start to finish, the film is only promoting veganism. And I think that is a very, I felt, because I even said to you right at the beginning of the movie, I was waiting. I was like, I wonder if this is going to end with like, because at the very beginning he explores like a big industrial farm. And I was like, I wonder if where this is going is like, and that's why we need to only shop at locally raised free range. But I felt like from start to finish, the movie was constantly saying like, this is veganism is the thing to do. It's going to be tough for some people, but this is the thing to do.
Yeah. I think you're right about that. Also lending myself to believing that's the conclusion is the fact that this particular group is putting it out and promoting it, and, you know, so that makes me feel more like, okay, they believe that this is very pro-vegan. But yeah, you're right. The people that are invited over to the dinner party, for instance, and I guess also the family, like the grandma is not, or his mother is not portrayed particularly positively at all, I think. And I wonder if some of this is just our own bias, because I wonder if someone that, you know, is not a vegan, if they would watch it and be like, yeah, the people at the dinner party have a point, you know, like, you know, lions got to eat meat or whatever it is. But they're, yeah, it's always kind of shown just by like sort of stripping everything away and being like, these are the things that human beings actually say, and don't you realize how ridiculous they are? But it's never like condescending to those people. It's never like, look at these fools that think this. It's just kind of like, you're saying this thing, and doesn't it seem kind of silly? Like, they don't even say that, but it's just sort of, here it is, make what you will of it, but it's surrounded by all this other information that's disproving what they're saying. And do you, non-vegan, do you see yourself in these people, and does it make you feel a little silly for saying those things? Could be really effective, could get people really defensive. I don't know.
But I feel like it was done more effectively than speciesism, where that kid had some condescending tones. Speciesism. But what I was going to say is that, do you remember at the very, right at the end of the movie, the filmmaker goes to the FATA headquarters, and he goes to who I can assume is one of the people that commissioned the movie. And I think he goes to this person and he's like, oh, this movie was like a failure. It didn't work out because he's, you know, like, even though he's changed a lot about himself, he's still not 100% vegan. Yeah. And then I forget exactly what she says, but she's like, no, it's like, this is not, it's not a failure. And I think that they managed to strike this difficult balance of being like, this is what you should strive for. It's okay that you're not there right now because you're working towards it and you know what your end goal is. And I feel like that's a hard thing to promote. It's so much easier. It's so much more palatable to be like, to do what most vegan documentaries do, like you pointed out, which is saying like, this is what you should do, so do it now, and it's super easy to make this switch. Or what, not that we're watching a lot of like reducitarian videos or documentaries if there are any, but I feel like it would also have been easy to just say like, for him to say, oh, I've made all these changes, so like, I'm good the way that I am now. But instead what they say is he comes to this person to basically say like, I failed because I'm not completely vegan. And this person says like, no, you're not. It's like, you haven't failed. You're still working on it. And I felt like that was a cool scene. And I thought that was a cool message to push. Yeah. Because I think it would be easy for people to get to where he's at and then get discouraged and just say, this is going to be so much easier if I just go back to the way that I was being before. And I think the way that they frame it is to push someone to keep going instead of just reverting back to their old ways.
Yeah. Yeah. I think in that regard, the film is like a very honest look at what this process is for a lot of people. And I think that, you know, as vegans, we tend to really, I guess us specifically, but I speaking more like broadly, that sort of within this movement, you know, we tend to think of people that aren't exposed to the information, you know, we tend to think if someone is exposed to information, they don't immediately go vegan, they're scum and they're horrible. And obviously not everyone feels that way. We don't feel that way, but that's kind of this thing. Like we'll complain, be like, can you believe these people that know this thing and they don't do that? And this film takes like a much kinder handling of that situation. So I think that perhaps someone could watch this film and see themselves in Ed and feel like maybe empowered to make some changes because of it. So
yeah.
I appreciate that. And I don't think that that is a nuance that's really been explored in any other film that we've reviewed so far.
I don't think so. Yeah. Like, cause I may not have even thought about it consciously, or maybe I have, but when you pointed out that most of these documentaries just say like, or most of these documentaries are presented as if once you watch this, it's life changing and you'll make this change. And all that's needed is to watch this one thing and boom, you're done. You're a vegan now. And I think this is more, it's a more realistic portrayal.
Yeah. And so I feel like I have to commend the film on that for as much as we're sort of picking the things apart, because it's the fun thing to do. Right. And because, you know, the unexamined film is not worth watching. I don't know.
What? Is that some great proverb?
Whoever said that the unexamined life is not worth living. put that on my tombstone.
Wayne Gretzky, Andy Tabar. Should we talk about the graphic imagery?
Yeah, definitely. So this film either uses animation. Oh, it doesn't even really show anything graphic in animation.
I want to talk about the animations later. Loved them. Loved them.
Very Despicable Me-esque human beings. Yeah. It mostly uses like descriptions, and there is this one scene where it's post-dinner party and half of the people have stuck around to watch it, and the camera is just trained on the people watching it and not the actual imagery. But there's a little bit in the reflection.
Yeah, that's
the
what I was going to say. You can like kind of see it in the reflection. Yeah.
What did you think of that tactic?
Well, because I'll say the Ed flat out says it might have been right before that part, or might have been at that part, or might have been right before. He says, "Oh, I promised Fada that I would not show graphic images."
Yeah, I want to talk about that. Ed says that earlier in the film.
Okay.
He kind of like alludes to it. I promised Jenny that I wouldn't show anything graphic, and then says it again at this scene. And it made me think, did I miss something in the very beginning in like the intro where Ed would have said like, don't worry, I promise not to show anything too graphic, but come along, gang. Like, I don't remember that. He just sort of dropped the thing that he promised Jenny there'd be no graphic footage, you know, 20, 30 minutes in. And then this thing happens again.
I thought that, like, the images that they showed, because there was scenes that were difficult to watch. It was not close to something like Earthlings. It was nowhere near anything like that. But they were certainly difficult images, or they would show images that would, where it would kind of be like implying it would be leading up to a graphic image. Like, for instance, with the chick calling, they show the chicks like about to be dropped into the grinder. And then they stopped the video after that. But I can't say whether or not or how that would affect a non-vegan. I think it would certainly depend on the person. I'm sure for some people, the descriptions, because they do, especially in that one post-dinner party scene, Jenny is describing what's happening. And even like some of the descriptions are, it's the descriptions plus you see the reactions of the people. I think that for some viewers, that will be enough. I think other viewers, there's still going to be some disconnect. And for those viewers, maybe seeing graphic images might be the thing that actually pushes them to make some changes. But I think that what they did was effective. I think that it's going to make it maybe more accessible to audiences. Like, maybe more people will watch this knowing that they're not going to be bombarded with graphic images.
Yeah.
And I think that there is something to say for the benefits of that. Like, I certainly think that Earthlings can be very powerful for people, but it's nice to have something like this that doesn't have all this graphic imagery in it.
Yeah, you know, as the film was starting and they showed some of the harder footage to watch, like the piglets kind of struggling on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, shit, we're getting into a film that's going to have some really graphic footage. And we unintentionally have locked ourselves into this one. So it was sort of a nice surprise to know that that wasn't what this film was going to be. So, yeah, I appreciate that. I think a lot of people have seen that footage and do know. And so they're sort of just being reminded of what they've already seen by this film. And I think that that alone can be effective.
I also think that, like, he makes a point. Like, I think it's done well because it's not just that they didn't show graphic images, because they still described him, and he makes a point to be like, we are sparing you from yeah. seeing these
aren't
things.
Aren't you glad?
He says that. He,
like,
literally
you know
says
how
that.
Bad this is. And aren't you glad? Look how nice we are. We're not showing yeah. that to you.
No. That's literally what he says at the chick calling part yeah. where he says, I think he says, aren't you glad we stopped the video right now or something like that. Yeah. And I think that, like I was saying, I think for some people that's going to be a very effective way to get this point across.
Yeah, definitely.
Andy, I like this movie.
It seems like you like this film, Paul.
I really liked this movie.
Do you think, though, that by not showing it, that there's, like, plausible deniability? Like, people could be like, it's not that bad if they haven't seen it or if they've only seen a little bit.
But if as a vegan, like we, if we know someone like that, we know all the places to get to find those graphic images. So yeah. it's one of those things where, you know, obviously, if someone watches this film that has someone they know that's vegan that can answer their questions or that can help guide them, that can help guide them constructively and answer them and respond to their comments in a constructive manner. That's always going to be more effective than just a rando watching this with and then only having other non-vegans or only having just themselves to reflect on it with.
Rando Calrissian.
Did you just come up with that?
Yeah.
That was good. But yeah, I guess my point is that I think that, like, hopefully if you are recommending this movie to someone, you're there to answer these questions. And if that's a concern that they bring up, they're like, oh, it's not that bad. You know, you can find, there's no,
Google that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. There's certainly no lack of graphic footage out there.
All right. Here's my next question, Paul. So the film, as I said, focuses not just on food, but puppy mills, wool, leather, animal testing, zoos, etc. Do you feel like it's too much information in that regard? Like, it's overwhelming? Like, it's like, and this is bad, and this is bad, and this is bad. And then there's the footage where they're, like, taking all the food out of the fridge, and they're taking the stuff out of the closet. And do you feel like someone could watch this and be like, I can't have this belt anymore, and I can't do this, and I can't go to the zoo, and what do I, you know, the zoo, it's the place we go on Saturday night as the one guy. In
yeah,
the,
yeah, yeah. It's a weird comment.
it's what I do. I have a pass. I can't not go to the zoo, yeah. Right? Do you feel like it's almost like overwhelming too much? Because on top of that, they're also, through their beautiful, beautiful animation, are throwing so many statistics and facts and figures at people, and you're like, I get that people need to see these things because it really demonstrates it, but we also know that if you throw more than like two or three at someone, none of them stick, and it's just sort of this like wash of, I guess they proved their point, but nothing really is staying with me. Do you feel like the film is would almost be overwhelming to people?
For the listener, Andy did a nice chef kiss when he said beautiful animations. Okay, here's what I got to say about that.
My eyes were also closed when I did it.
It was an emotional moment. I think that because they throw in a lot of issues. And like I said previously, towards the end of the movie, one of the main ideas for the main character is that everything else was really easy except the food. And I guess I am going to, while I do agree that for the majority of the population that's trying to go vegan, the food aspect is going to be the most difficult aspect. I agree with that. I do think that something I will be critical about, a nit that I will pick, is that, you know, I think some people will have trouble with the clothing aspect of it. Not everybody can throw away their entire wardrobe and buy an entirely new wardrobe of like fancy suits, like this, like jackets that this
from
guy,
a specific vegan boutique.
Yeah. And yeah. So I will say, like, circuses and zoos, those are things that I think are easy to, because those are things that you just have to not do you're not replacing them with something else.
Hard just, for that one guy.
but so those I think are easy to give up, but the clothing aspect I think might be a little bit more challenging. And even the, to some extent, like the animal testing aspect, if you don't know, like you're, if you're not super knowledgeable about all these products, then it's kind of like someone's coming in and telling you like, oh, well, you need to get all this different stuff. And maybe that's, maybe that, that those replacement products are not accessible to you. So I think there is, it's not always going to be as easy as it was for this gentleman, Ed, but I don't remember what the original question was, Andy, but I guess my point is that, that I do agree that food is the, is the more difficult one. What was the question?
I was asking if it was too overwhelming.
Oh, okay. So I don't think it was. I don't think it was
over. Okay, so no.
I don't think it was overwhelming because I think that the idea that the movie is trying to portray is like, not all of these things are going to be difficult. Some of them are going to be difficult, and that's okay. But some of them are going to be easy changes for you to do.
It's almost like how they frame it. Like, it could feel very empowering. Like, it could be, look at how many aspects of this you can just immediately cut out of your life.
Yeah.
And then, yes, okay, food might be one of the last things to do. Now, personally, we talk about this so much that food is the first step for most people. Mm-hmm. And I guess I wish that they did sort of, I don't know, it's like a lot to squeeze in a documentary, but they had a couple minutes to spare if they could have addressed the fact that, like, what if I can't get rid of my belts right now? Like, what am I supposed, am I a bad person if I keep wearing this belt that I've had for 4 years and I wear, you know, for 3 fancy events a year and it never wears out? Yeah, I wish that there could have been some graceful way to address that fact, because it did make it feel like vegan time, get out the garbage bag and throw all the non-vegan stuff in your house. And like Jenny, right?
Yeah.
Was like going through and be like, nope, this actually has animal products and this has animal products. And, you know, it just felt like it was someone who was like just having their like life systematically like dismantled and like thrown away. Cause you didn't realize, just like taking out like a brick from the building, like, there's animal products in there. And like, you know, it just feels like it was like one thing after the other.
I think that very easily, it wouldn't even have taken minutes. I think it could have been one line that someone like Jenny said, which would be like, oh, like, because especially when they're going through his belts, she could have said something like, I actually don't, like, I donated my belts, or I actually wore my belts until I couldn't wear them anymore, and then I purchased new ones. Yeah. I think she could have said something like that. If the film considered that, my guess would be that they decided to omit it because they wanted to make sure that the message was veganism throughout the whole thing. And the message was not, the message was, it might be like, it may be challenging to get there, but this is what you should strive for. And maybe they were worried that that would come across as like, you can still kind of do some of this stuff sometimes, which again, was, I think, they did this in a very nuanced way. I think they portrayed those characters that are trying to promote that kind of lifestyle as being like, as they portray them in a negative light versus the way they portray the main character, which is someone that is continually striving, even though he's sometimes coming up short, he's striving to do this thing. So maybe that's why they decided not, like, even though I don't agree that that's a bad thing to do, I think maybe that's what they were worried about. Yeah. If this even came across their minds, who knows?
Yeah. They're probably like listening to this review and they're like, what the hell?
Yeah. What the hell?
What the hell? I think that, I don't know. I guess I just wish there, I understand probably what they were attempting to do was just be like, look how prevalent our exploitation of animals is in our everyday lives. And even in your house, every room in the house, you're going to find something. And shouldn't we work to change that? So, like, I get that, but it just felt kind of overwhelming. Like, you have to throw all this stuff away.
Yes, and I think you just reminded me that when this happens in the movie, it's like the first or second scene of the movie. And I think you might have just even said this. The point that they were trying to get across at that point, at that time in the film, was less so, you need to overhaul your entire lifestyle. And it was more so what you just said, look at how animals products show up. They're so prevalent in your life without you realizing it. Because that's what he says at the beginning, is he says something like, oh, I like animals, but like, yeah, I eat meat, but I'm good with animals otherwise. And then it cuts to Jenny being like, no, actually, here's an animal product. So I think that the point of that scene was not you need to change your entire lifestyle. The point was, look at that. You may believe that, you know, you're good to animals, but these are all these ways that are proving it false.
Solid point, Paul.
Thank you. Point, I just Paul. Thought of that. Just came
GPP,
up from my head.
GPP, good point, Paul. I almost kind of wish that they had broken it up a little bit and almost like part of the film, the vegan 101 section of the film was him saying, okay, well, they talked about food animals raised for food first. And he'd be like, okay, but aside from that, I'm like really good. And then he'd be like, well, actually, let's go to your bedroom. And then they should open the closet. And then they explain wool and leather. He's like, okay, well, then they do all that footage. And then they're like, well, the bathroom, nothing in there. And then they do the animal testing.
Oh.
Like that could have been an interesting sort of framing device for half an hour or so.
It could have been. I think that...
You sound skeptical. Well, no, it could have been, but it wouldn't be.
But remember, like, the narrative thrust of the film is like he's continually discovering these new things, he's going to these places, and I feel like that would have been hard to do, because that would have been, it would have been, even though I said at the beginning it's kind of hard to tell there's what if there are time jumps and stuff like that, that would have been clearly like, oh, it's he's at this point where he's in his house, and then it cuts to him going to this interview. And then then 20 minutes later cuts back to that same scene of him in his house in a different room. And then it goes, it's like, so I think that would have made that overall narrative arc maybe a little more fuzzy. Cause it wouldn't have been like, this is his journey from start to finish. It would be more hopping around.
Freaking Tarantino over there. All right. I got a couple of things I want to ding this film for.
Okay.
A couple of dings. First is...
First ding.
Everyone refers to animals as it.
Yes.
Throughout the entire film. Well, and I'm wondering if it's a cultural thing.
I'm wondering if it's a subtitle thing.
Yeah.
Like, it could have just been the person that translated. Or, well, I guess... I don't know. I don't know. But, I noticed that too. I was wondering if it was either a subtitle thing or a cultural thing as well.
Yeah.
Ding.
But I think that for the English language translation, they should have gone through and replaced with them or him or her. You know, I think that would be an easy fix.
Yeah. I mean, what if it was the other way around? What if they were saying them,
yeah,
and the translation person just wrote it in as it?
It's like the speciesist leanings of the translator.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you never know. But I feel like that runs obviously very counter to what the film is trying to do.
First thing.
All right. I feel like we would have to go with a fine tooth comb through all the statistics that they used. You know, a lot of them were like stuff that we're sort of used to hearing. And honestly, all the numbers start to bleed together after a while. But the thing that kind of really bugged me was when they said going vegan is the fastest and easiest way to end world hunger.
Yeah.
Which we've addressed on the show before. You know, we've never done like a full episode on it. But it's a piece of the puzzle. I think anything that's trying to address world hunger that doesn't include ending our use of animals for agriculture is an incomplete picture. But to think that that's the only thing that we have to do, and all of a sudden all these resources will get allocated to the starving people around the world, is like a dream narrative. It's a false narrative. So I wish that vegan documentaries wouldn't push that.
And there was actually I totally agree with that. There was another statistic that they said.
Some calculations.
I got my calculator out right now. There was another statistic that they said that I meant to pause the film and calculate this out real quick, but I didn't want to annoy you with it, Andy. But there's one part where they're saying.
I love when you do math, Paul. It brings you joy.
Where they say something like, oh, it takes 10 times. Oh, what is it? It takes 10 times as much water to produce.
Oh, with the pantsless people?
Yeah. You think they're pantsless. I think they were just wearing tan pants.
Flesh color. What a weird choice. But they were definitely like Winnie the Poohing it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They said like, it was that statistic where it's like, you know, oh, it takes 10 times as much water to produce one pound of beef or 1 pound of steak than 1 pound of wheat. And then it says, and it takes 2 times as much water to do one pound of fish as 1 pound of wheat. And then like 2 times as much water. And it lists 4 things, I think. But, and then it says, I know this is going to be a weird thing to have bother me, but, and then it says, and that's an average. It's it, the numbers are like 4, 6, 2, and 2, which adds up to 20, and then divide by 4 is 5. And then he says it takes, so it takes an average of 5 times as much water. But I feel like you can't do that because people are not eating the same amounts of all of these things. So you know what I mean?
Just want to scream, you can't do that.
But do you know what I mean?
Like, I don't know what you mean, but you know math and I trust you.
Like, he's averaging, it takes 10 times as much for steak, 6 times as much for this, times as much for fish, and 2 times as much for this. And then he sort of says, so that's an average of 5 times as much more water. But if they're eating billions of more fish than steak,
yeah,
then there's going to be more, it's going to be cows, skewed. Paul. Than cows, thank you. It's going to be more skewed towards that number.
Yeah, the film did that with the grain usage as well. And that, I did notice it that at that
maybe
point.
Maybe that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, because it was like 10 pounds. It wasn't pounds, it was kilos, but...
another ding.
Whatever the heck that is. and it was like, yeah, 10 pounds to produce a pound of cow's flesh.
That is
and
what like, I was talking
about. All the way down to, yeah. And I was just like, I don't know if that, I mean, I guess. But it is almost trying to make eating the animals that have a lower conversion rate, like, you know, 2 pounds to 1 pound for chicken's flesh. It's almost like they're trying to make that seem worse environmentally by guilty by association with yes. the cow flesh. And yeah, it rung a little manipulative to me.
Because they're eating more, people are eating more chickens than cows.
Yeah.
So like there's going to be more wheat than for the chickens than there are for the cows. So I don't think it actually works. We've already spent too long talking about this.
I know, but it's almost like, what if they included like one whale that had some like really huge conversion rate and, you know, where it takes like 5,000 kilos for 1 pound of whale or whatever. And then all of a sudden, everything averages out to being like 100 pounds.
Yeah, but, you know, exactly.
It's like, it's a little manipulative. So I think that there's probably a lot of those instances in this film that we didn't catch because they're just throwing so many numbers, so many facts and statistics at you. And some of them we've just heard so many times that we think they're probably true. And maybe there's something about them is technically true, but the way they're presenting it's
like the cancer causing meat.
Yeah. Yeah. And they definitely talk about that.
Meat causing cancer.
Yeah. Cancer does definitely create meat. So I think that, again, I wish that this wasn't a vegan 101 film. I think if that stuff wasn't in there, I'm sure they need some of it, right? But I wish it was more of an examination of the psychological functions of empathy and all these things. Because there was at one point when early on, I forget exactly what the context was, but it was saying like, if I don't have empathy for these animals, does that make me a psychopath, right? And you're like, oh, this is so interesting. And then they don't go anywhere with it, really. Yeah. And, you know, just exploring these things. Like, what does it make the vast majority of our world that consumes animals, does that make them psychopaths or sociopaths or whatever? Or is there, like, can there be room to be like, well, no, but because of cultural conditioning. And Melanie Joy, her inclusion in the film definitely got to some of that as mm-hmm. well. But it was such an afterthought. And I just wanted more of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, ding.
Ding. Yes, I agree with you, Andy.
Do you have any dings, Paul? Any other dings?
Oh, man, I just had one. Oh, I got a ding.
Ding me.
Subtitles, too fast.
So it's a weird thing to complain about because we went into this knowing what we were into.
I would have been okay if they did a, like, you know how you can watch YouTube videos on like 1.5 and if they had done the movie like 0.9, so like everything is just a fraction slower.
Yeah.
I know this is like a weird thing to be complaining about, but I actually saw one of the comments, I think on, was it Vimeo that we watched this? Someone gave it a poor review because they said they couldn't keep up with the subtitles.
Yeah. I was like just barely able to keep up with it. And there were some points when it went too fast. There were some points when they just omitted them altogether.
I think there was only one point.
Twice. There was two times. Yeah. One of them was when they were showing Madagascar. And so, you're like, that's not really that important, I guess. But the other was actually the Ed speaking, and you didn't get what he was saying. So. Yeah.
You think they paid for those Disney rights? There was two Disney films that they showed in the movie.
Credits. They're in the credits.
But they just said, like, thanks to the for showing these images.
Sarcastic. Thanks, Disney.
Because I feel like that would be a very expensive thing for a movie like this to buy.
Yeah, I guess they're just going to do it until they get in trouble.
Probably, yeah.
I don't know any other media entities that do that. No one listens to the end.
Oh, man, I had another ding, but I...
Can I tell you some things that I enjoyed?
Of course.
Well, one, the animation.
Okay. Andy?
Lay it on me.
There was what I loved the animation so much. It had this weird, like, creepy... Everyone was really, like, gangly and, like...
Their faces were where, like, their neck and, yeah, like, shoulders should be.
They
and...
did look like Despicable Me people.
Despicable Meeple.
Despicable Meeple. There was one scene where they're going over the differences between veganism, vegetarianism, carnism, and then flexitarianism that I don't know if that scene on its own would have any, like... any benefit to anyone, but I want to find that. I hope that someone has on YouTube just that scene, because I just want to watch that scene and share that scene with people, because it's just like the animation is just so good for this one scene, and it gave me so much joy, even though like it wasn't even necessarily promoting veganism or anything like that. So I don't know if there's any benefit to sharing it, that one scene, to the world, but I loved it so much.
But it did have one of my favorite laugh lines in the film, which is they go vegan, vegetarian, and omnivore, or non-vegan, or whatever.
No, they say carnist.
They use the carnist term there. And then those three are presented as the options, and they're like, oh, also there's flexitarians. Everyone looks at flexitarians suspiciously.
Oh, man. And I actually like what they say, because I think that vegans use the word carnist condescendingly,
yeah,
very frequently.
Carnist.
But I think that...
Bloodmouth.
I think that they said... There was one line that was said right when that animation was happening, where they said, like, oh, and like... there's this other group of people who don't like to have a label, but it's like, because they're basically, what I was saying is like, they don't like to have a label because they want to just be the norm. They want to be the default. Is, and it's like, but like, no, you have a label. This is what your label is. Yeah. And I was like,
yeah. As much as I don't necessarily love the term carnist, I feel like in some ways it's inaccurate, but in some cases I do think there's some, you know, practical applications, and for some people it can be a helpful way of looking at the issues. I thought they did a pretty good job of not making it condescending, mm-hmm, in this film.
So maybe that would be the benefit of showing that one clip, is to show non-vegans, it's like you're not the, like, it's, you're not necessarily the default. Like, here's the things that people are. It's like, just because you've always seen yourself as the default, that like doesn't mean that there isn't validity to any of these other groups of people.
Yeah.
I'm just looking for excuses to share that one clip.
All right. The last thing that I'm going to point out that I really liked,
mm-hmm,
Patrick Baboumian's facial hair.
Oh, that was going to be my other ding. My other ding was...
Dinging his facial hair?
No. Oh, God. I wouldn't... His facial hair was great.
Impeccable.
It was distracting. I was also... Chef kiss. I found myself distracted because they were both talking, because he lives in Germany, I think. Uh-huh. And he also, if you're not familiar with him, he's like a vegan strongman competitor that has
Strongman.
Strongman. He's a first name vegan, last name Strongman. And he's like broken a bunch of like strongman records and stuff like that. My one ding was when it quickly shows a clip of him saying real men eat plants, or real men are kind to animals, or something like that. But
I couldn't tell if that was what he was saying or if it was like him in German saying something I wasn't understanding.
I was distracted because in that scene they're speaking English to each other because he lives in Germany. And the Ed lives in Spain, I believe. And so they're both talking English to each other. And I found myself looking for the subtitles and they weren't there. And then realizing, oh, I can understand what they're saying.
Yeah, I liked when he was like lifting some obscene amount of weight. And he's like, this is just my warm up.
I met him one time. Yeah. It was great. I did a sick hard style with
him. You beat him in arm wrestling, I'm sure.
I did that. He's a big man. But yeah, it was nice to have different faces in a movie. Peter Singer and Melanie Joy were and Patrick Baboumian.
Baboumian.
They were the only ones I think that I recognized. Yeah. And like Peter Singer has been in a few of these other ones. Melanie Joy, I don't know if I've seen her in any other like big vegan film, but it was nice that there was different people.
Yeah.
Because at this point it's like I'm overseeing.
Did you know you can turn on and turn off cancer growth? Yeah, they wheeled the Tupac hologram away for this one. Yeah, and obviously a lot of that is a function of, you know, where the film was made, of course. It's almost kind of interesting that they included like Peter Singer and Melanie Joy. Well, I guess Melanie Joy is in Germany, but
yeah.
Who knows where the heck Peter Singer is. He's France doing his, he does his like, as far, last I heard, he does his like France exception where he's like, when he's in France, he'll eat like non-vegan stuff or whatever it was.
Really?
Yeah, he's not.
Oh, that's weird.
He's not the hero that I think a lot of vegans think he is necessarily.
Is he the hero we deserve?
You know, probably.
but even like there was like a triathlete that they showed and it wasn't Rich Roll. You know, it's like even these kind of like side vegan characters that are also like, it's like, oh, we need a vegan triathlete. Cool. Call up Rich Roll. Oh, we need a vegan this. Okay. Call up this person. This had like different people doing that. Yeah. And I was like, cool.
It's not.
It wasn't the same old people.
Cool. All right. Well, so overall thoughts, fan of the film, fan of the animation.
Oh, yeah. I really like this. I would be interested to see how non-vegans react to it. I think obviously that is the test. That's the purpose. And you always ask me, who is this film for? I think that this film is absolutely a good film for non-vegans. I think it's meant for a non-vegan to see this and empathize with Ed and see themselves in him, in someone struggling to have this internal conflict and make changes because of it. So yeah, I think I'm gonna give this a social media blast on my social medias. Mm. Let's maybe see if it catches anyone's fancy.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm with you there. I think, and it's unfair. The fact that it is subtitled, I know, will turn some people off and make it a little bit harder to, a little less penetrable for some people.
Luckily, though, like all of the, did you notice? Because we saw, like, it was like, I could have rented the Spanish version of it.
Yeah.
Luckily, like all the infographics were all in English. Yes. And that would have been very huge. Difficult to see like a graphic and then the translation under it. So you're like seeing two texts, one in Spanish, one in English. Like that would have been a lot of text and difficult.
They couldn't translate those kilos to pounds, Paul. Yeah.
I know. I almost expected when Ed was talking to Patrick for when he would say like, oh, I just lifted 75 kilos. I almost expected that to be like a little like that equals 300 pounds.
Or just in parentheses, that's a lot.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I think that this could be a really useful film. It was a breath of fresh air.
Oh yeah.
To watch a film that was presented this way. So yeah, solid two beards from me.
Two beards, two out of two beards. We haven't, I feel like it's been a while since we've seen a film that we've been overwhelmingly, for the most part, overwhelmingly for the most part, positive about.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'll be shocked if we ever find a film that we both love and have almost nothing critical to say of it. Like, I don't feel like I have bad things to say about it. I just have critiques of it. And I think that is what makes for a healthy movement.
Yeah.
You know, for obviously all the future filmmakers listening to our podcast and hanging on our every word, Paul, they're going to make that perfect film for us someday. And then we review it and still pick it apart. And they're like, why? Give you everything you wanted. Yeah, I think not since maybe If a Tree Falls, where we both just super overwhelming. Mm-hmm. I know we, I really like Peaceable Kingdom. I think we both liked it, but I think that this, to me, this is like on par with If a Tree Falls. Or maybe like a notch or two below. But If a Tree Falls was like really, really good. But it's up there. It's something that I would say worth a watch.
Definitely, definitely. So check it out. Let us know what you think. Obviously, you can respond right on the Patreon page in that thread, or you can send us an email, thebeardedvegans@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you think of it, if you end up watching it, if you know a non-vegan that's watched it, what maybe what they think of it. So, yeah, we would love to hear from you.
Yeah, and if you've had the cheesesteak at Triangle Tavern, let us know.
We would also love to hear from you about that.
Yeah.
All right, Andy.
So the thing that was weird to me about the moment when they omitted the subtitles, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like they only did it once in the entire film, and it was in Spanish, so I'm not in like 100% sure this is what he said, but I could have sworn that during that section when the subtitles were just mysteriously gone from the screen, Ed was actually saying the following 7 words.
We are the Bearded Vegans, signing off.
I know how it is, yeah, I know how it goes. I know what you're feeling, I've been through it all before. Tell me what you need, hit a dose of the sympathy. Empathy, 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 empathy. I know how it is, yeah, I know how it goes. I know what you're feeling, I've been through it all before. Tell me what you need.
Yo soy los bearded dos bearded vegans. Adios.